Thanksgiving has come and gone. Yeah, the dinners and Christmas is approaching, and Advent begins next week, and Thanksgiving was this past Thursday, so we're sort of in the Sunday between, the in-between Sunday. The Sunday between Thanksgiving, being thankful for everything that God has done for us this past year, and looking forward to Christmas and what God will do for us and bring about in our lives at that time at Christmas. But in Scripture, we find that before God does anything, He always lets His people know what He's getting ready to do. And He often does this with signs to let people know what His intentions are and what He has in store for them. You know, this past Tuesday evening, I drove to Highway 74 East to Indianapolis Airport to pick Carol up from seeing her parents in Florida. As I'm driving along, I was amazed at how many signs there were all along, every point along this route. There were signs, exit signs, speed limit signs to remind me that I was needed to slow down, signs for cities, caution signs for work zones to get ready. And each of the signs was to let me know that something lay ahead and that I needed to prepare and get ready for it. You know, signs are agreed upon symbols. They're representations of something else, and they give us information, they tell us stuff, but most often what they do is they tell us what is ahead. Let us know what's coming so that we can prepare for it. And just as it is in driving on the highway, so it is in life. We have different things that happen to us to prepare us for what is coming down the pike in life. You know, cold temperatures and white stuff outside lets us know that winter is coming and that we need to prepare for it. You know, white hair lets us know that old age is coming and to get ready and to prepare for it if you can. A high temperature on a fever thermometer lets you know that you're getting ready to get sick and you need to get ready for it. And God, in preparing the world for His Son Jesus, gave us the sign of a man named John the Baptist to let the world know that Jesus was coming, so that we could prepare for Him. And today we're looking at the story of how John the Baptist, his backstory as the world prepared for him, out of the book of Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. It says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well on in years." The time was about 1 B.C., you know, Zechariah was a priest, and he followed God. His wife, Elizabeth, was a God follower. They both loved God and served God. But Elizabeth was barren, and she had no children. And just as she was physically barren and could not have any children, the nation of Israel, in many ways, were spiritually barren, that they had not heard from God in over 400 years. They were God's chosen people. But for 400 years, there had been no word from God. For 400 years, no prophets had come and told the people about what God was thinking and what God wanted for them. For 400 years, there were no miracles from God of the supernatural breaking into the natural to display the glory of God. For 400 years, there is no word about the coming Messiah, the one who would show the world God and bring the world back to God. 400 years and nothing but silence. And Israel desperately needed a sign from God that He still loved them, that He was still cared for them, that He was even there. Verse 8. And once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time of the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. And many of the people of Israel will bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Yeah, isn't this amazing? Zechariah, the priest, going into the temple, doing what priests always do, to offer incense before God. And he's there burning the incense. An angel appears to him and shares with him that he will have a son. And not only does it tell Zechariah he will have a son, he tells him everything about his son. You know, as parents, we have children, and we always wonder who they're going to become and what they're going to do and what they're going to be when they grow up and what differences they're going to make in the world and what's they're going to be their career and where they're going to study. And we have all these thoughts and all these, you know, what will our children be? But Zechariah found this all out right at the beginning. When the angel told him that he was going to have a son, he's told him also, "Hey, Zechariah, and you are to give him the name John." Boy, that made it easy on him. It always tickles me when parents, they have a child and they know it's been 9 months and they know they're going to have a child. But when the child's born, they still haven't decided upon a name. And I think, wait a minute now, you've had 9 months to pick out a name and your child is born and you can't figure out what name you wanted. Well, we wanted to see what he looked like. We wanted to see what she looked like and see what name we can make fit this little one that God has given to us. But Zechariah knew his name. It would be John. And this, his son, he would go in the power of the Lord. And he would turn the people's hearts to God. Before John even had a pulse, he knew his purpose. Before this little one to be born could even hear, he had his calling. Even before he had life itself, he would be the one to speak about the God of all life. He had his purpose, he had his calling, he had his intention. And it would consume him and become part of what he would do for God. to prepare the people, to go in the power of the Lord, to be like the voice of Elijah, to make a people ready to receive the Lord. And John's purpose is our purpose. John's calling is our calling. John's intention is our intention. That just like John, we are to bring many people back to the Lord. That like John, we are to go before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah. That like John, we are to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the unrighteous to the righteous. That like John, we are to make a people ready for the Lord. And like John, we are to prepare the world for Jesus because Jesus was getting ready to come into the world. See, more than just our friends and family, greater than our community, even more than the campus of the University of Illinois, we exist here as a Temple Baptist Church to bring Jesus, to prepare the world for Jesus. Zechariah asked the angel, wait a minute now, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years. And so God gave Zechariah a sign, but he did not believe it. Verse 19. And the angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time. You know, both Zechariah and Elizabeth were upright in the sight of God. They had been observing all the Lord's commands. They loved God and followed Him. And for years they had tried to become parents. For years they had tried to have a child. And at first they held on to hope, the possibility that they would have a little one. But the years went by, and this year followed that year, and this year followed that year. And their hope began to wane and become less and less and less. Until finally hope left the building, and then they didn't have any hope at all. You know, you would have thought Zechariah would have jumped up and down and just, you know, high five God. Thank you for this awesome news. Thank you for letting me know. Hey, this is so wonderful. I can't wait to tell Elizabeth. God, you're so awesome to give us a son. But it was too good to be true. And because he doesn't believe that God can do what God says he is going to do, Zechariah wasn't able to tell what needed to be told. You know, one of the things, hardest things to do as a Christian is to believe that God says that He's going to do what He will do, and then to tell other people about it. You know, one of the key verses in the Bible that we have is John 3:16. And this helps us understand, sort of as Christians, what it is that God's intention for all creation is. In John 3:16, we read, For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son into the world, that whoever in the world believes in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that they shall not die in the world, but they will be delivered out of the world once they do pass from the world to have eternal life with God. That's what God was going to do. That's God's intention. And when we believe that God says He's going to do what He says He wants to do, then we begin to have the encouragement and strength and the sense of empowerment to go and to tell other people about it. Who watched the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade this year? Everybody watched Macy's Day? Some? Macy's Day Parade Thursday morning. I've been to it. Anyone been to it? I've been to it. I went to it once years ago. But if you watched the Macy's Day Parade this year, you found out a couple of things about the Macy's Day Parade. You found out first that it was really windy there. It was really cold there. And that it was so windy and so cold that the balloons were flying so close to the ground that they almost touched the heads of the people who were guiding the balloons. I mean, it must have been every 10 seconds the commentators were, oh, it's real windy here. Oh, it's really cold here. Oh, and those balloons are flying so close to the ground. 10 seconds later, oh, it's really windy. It's like, oh my goodness, tell us something we don't know. Tell us, think of something new here. But there's one thing they also kept stressing about Thanksgiving. They kept saying that Thanksgiving was all about family and friends. And they said this over and over. It's all about family and friends. Well, I said, well, no, it's not, because if this day was all about family and friends, they would have called it Family and Friends Day, not Thanksgiving Day. And so as they're talking, one of the announcers asked the other announcer, well, what are you thankful for? Guess what they said? We're thankful. Sort of like the Miss America pageant, right? What do you want? World peace, you know. What are you thankful for? They said, he said, I'm thankful for my family and for family and friends. But the way he said it was like he was just thankful for the experience of family and friends, and there was no thank you to anyone or anything for the family and friends that he has. Wow. You know, he took God out of the equation or any sense or semblance of God. That he was not thankful to God for the friends that had been given to him. He was not thankful to God for the family that had been given him. He was just thankful for his family and friends, as if nothing resulted in everything, and that nothing gave him all the good things that he has experienced and known to date in life. And this empty cosmos somehow created this experience of family and friends that he was thankful for. But when the pilgrims gather that first Thanksgiving day, they gave thanks to God who had given them their life. They gave thanks to God who had brought them this far. They gave thanks to God for the Indians who came and taught them how to hunt and how to fish and how to plant corn. They gave thanks to God for all the goodness they had given to them. And they gave thanks to God, and they made sure that the world knew it. And meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. God gave Zechariah a sign, but he did not believe it. God gave the people a sign, but Zechariah could not share it. Verse 23. And when his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. And when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. Now on the eighth day they came to circumcise a child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah, but his mother spoke and said, "No, he is to be called John." And they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. And everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. John was to be a sign. John was to be the sign that Jesus was to come into the world. And John was to be the sign to turn the hearts of the people back to the Lord and open their hearts and lives to represent, to receive Jesus. And like John, we are to be signs. Like John, we are to go to our neighborhood and invite other people to Jesus. Like John, we are to talk to those who are our friends and our neighbors about Jesus. Like John, we are to go to our co-workers and tell them about Jesus who's coming, and prepare them and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This Christmas season, will you with me become the signs God wants us to be, to point other people to Jesus?